Hi, we're here for a brand new UIW Athletics podcast. This is your host, Shane Melling, and this week with our great success at the CCSA Swimming Championships, we're going to do an all swimming and diving podcast this week. We're going to have Thiago Paravicini, Evandro Silva, head coach Phil Davis, and hopefully we'll have Callie Lentz on the women's side for our interviews. And we're going to start off with Thiago. Thiago, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here.
And, you know, you're a four-year member of the team, senior. You set two conference records in both breaststroke events, and you picked up another conference, two other conference records in a couple of relays. How exciting was it for you for the team to win the conference title in their first year at Division I?
I think it was an excellent year for all of us. We worked really hard, and it couldn't finish in a different way. I think the title was like the reward that we all deserved. It was a really pleasure to be swimming with the teammates that I had this year and to be an athlete of the coach staff. They really helped us. They're really nice persons. And I think the title was, I have no words to describe what is the feeling of having this title, because it's the last title of my swimming career and was with the best teammates that I have had in like all my swimming career. So I'm pretty happy with that. I think we all deserve this title.
Were you guys a little nervous? I think two events left and it was all tied up with you guys and Maryland Baltimore County. Now you guys did have the butterfly, which you guys dominated, but was there any nerves heading into the final two races, knowing how close the standings were?
I think it was kind of, we got a little nervous to see them catching us at the last day. We thought we would be like adding some more advantage, and they were catching us, like they tied up after my 200 breaths. And it was kind of shocking because we got first and second, and they scored more than us, so you start getting a little nervous. But we studied the races before. We knew the 200 fly was coming, and we had like four really good swimmers in the A final and one more in the B final. We would score a lot. We just wanted to score more than, to add an advantage, more than 40 points.
Right.
So you would be able to already be the winners, be the champions of the meet before the relay.
Before
and
the
don't
relay.
Decide with a lot of pressure in the last race.
I know coach told you guys to be extra careful on that last relay. Did you feel like that slowed you down a little bit, that you guys probably could have won the race if you had been going for it a little bit more on the starts?
I didn't swim the last relay, but for sure the guys could be like faster. And the relays that I did, I could have gone faster and more aggressive in the starts. You would have dropped sometimes, but I think it was not necessary. You know, we had like the goal was to be conference champion, mm-hmm. and we achieved this goal. So if we were safe, we did that for a reason. We've been in national championships and other conference championships that we saw some teams losing their titles because they got a relay DQ. So sometimes you have to have a good strategy and be careful with everything.
Now, how much did that championship experience, you've been an All-American many times, how much did that help you going into this meet, knowing, you know, it's going to be a big meet? Did it kind of, were you calm because you knew I've performed at this type of level before?
I mean, every single meet is a new experience. It's a secret. You really, you have your expectation, you have your goals, but you don't know what's going to happen. It's always our surprise box. But I think what gave me a lot of confidence during this meet was to see like the freshman class and my other teammates. They were confident all the time. They were swimming fast all the time. And they gave like their best in every single race. They swim like 110% every single race. So that makes you like feel more confident, more comfortable to swim, and to see like just that your teammates are supporting you all the time, it makes everything easier.
Talk a little about your two specialty events, the 100 and 200 breaststroke. What was your game plan for both of the races?
I knew that my biggest opponent will be my teammate Rostek Fedina, and I know he is faster than me at the beginning of the race. So sometimes I need to be careful with that, because if I'm too fast in the beginning of the race, I'm not gonna be doing my race, and maybe not getting my full potential and doing the right race. But I knew I also need to help him, encourage him to go faster to help the team. So it's kind of hard.
you're trying to beat him, but you want him to go as fast
as
possible.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's weird about swimming, because everybody thinks it's an individual sport, but it's a team sport also. So we have to play together, Rosic and I, to score as many points as we could, because breaststroke, even if we were first and second both of the events, it was one of the races that we had the last number of swimmers. So we had to be like in the top to score more. And I just tried my best in both of the race. I was thinking about being conference champion, breaking all the records, but also swimming in a fast time to, at the end of the season, be in a good spot in the international rank. So can give like incarnate word. Good
yeah,
luck.
You're ranked. I think you're ranked 7th in one, and you're ranked 11th in the other. Now, when you saw in the 100 that you got 53 flat, were you thinking just 1/100th of a second faster? I could have broke 53 seconds.
I mean, at the first time I looked to the scoreboard after the 100 breaths that I did 53.00, and after the 200 breaths that I did 1:54.67, that it's exactly my personal best time from last season. I was like, why? You know, like I never had a competition in my life that in both of my races, my favorite races, I didn't reach my personal goal by 1/100th of a second. But at first, you kind of get mad. You think like, why it didn't happen? But what makes me feel happy about everything, that I was scoring for the team as much as I could. So, and just to see the happiness of my teammates, and to see them like smiling at me, saying good job, and that they were happy that I was able to swim fast and help them, that like made me forget about the 1/100th of a second.
Right.
And I knew that I'm gonna have another chance in the March meet, so I'm pretty confident it's gonna happen. So,
any last words from you before we let you go?
I just wanna thank you, all the coaching staff from Incarnate Word, all my teammates, all the faculty, because it's been like 3 years of my life that I'm here, and I can say that was like the 3 years of my life that I had fun, more fun, that I really like met a lot of good people. I have friends that I'm gonna have for my entire life here, and I'm just like really, really proud to be part of this team, and I hope I left something good, some kind of legacy that they can keep working hard to make Incarnate Word like get better every year, like after year.
I don't think that's in doubt. You definitely have had a wonderful career, Thiago. Thank you for joining us, and we'll have someone else come on momentarily. Okay, joining us now, Daniel Torres, another key member of the men's CCSA Conference Championship team. Daniel, you had like a fantastic week at the championships in Knoxville. Just take us through your swims, and I guess just how you were feeling and what you were thinking heading into all your different events you did.
Okay, well, this past meeting conference was the most important meet of the whole season that I was going to be with the team for the last time, so I wanted to make it a big one and a good one. So I've been working on everything that I can inside and outside of the pool for the whole season in order to be able to pull this off. So once the time came, I just put everything behind. I didn't think of anything but my goals, and I think the fact that I wasn't swimming as much as I was used to in other meets helped me out to be able to go fast in events that I didn't know I could go that fast. For example, the first day I swam the 200 medley relay, and I swam the backstroke leg, and I've been going 22.4 to 22.6 for the entire time that I've been.
2205, I think.
Yeah, I was 2205. I was really happy that I talked to my coach before the race, and he said, "I'm not expecting anything better, anything worse than a 205, a 2205." So I was like, "Okay, let's do it." So I got a 2205. When I got out of the pool, I was happy, but I noticed how my teammates were telling me, "Hey, are you pissed you didn't hit 21.99? And I was like, "No, I'm really happy I was 22.0 because it had been a long time since I didn't hit a personal best in that event. And, well, that just gave us a lead for the relay, and we ended up winning that relay with a new conference and school record.
And I know you've been really good in backstroke for us through the years.
Yeah.
And then this meet, you really... the butterfly, you kind of crushed it.
Yeah.
Set a couple school records, set a couple meet records. I guess what led up to doing so well in the butterfly events?
Well, I guess since I didn't really have to do butterfly before because we had good butterflyers in the previous years, I guess, I did swim butterfly sometimes in the past, but it didn't really matter because there weren't meets that were that important. But I knew I had the potential to swim fast, and I just started to work a little bit more on it. And since the coaches told me that I might swim that event at conference, and that would make a big difference or contribute to the team to be able to win that title, I kind of took butterfly a little bit more seriously, and I just went for it in the meet, and everything turned out to be
well. Came down basically the 200 fly was the important event of the meet. It was tied heading into that one, and you guys, I think, got first, second, third, and fifth, and then in the 100 fly, I think you guys took first through fourth, if I'm not mistaken. So,
yeah.
What was it like just seeing not only you winning, but your teammates coming right after you, getting top places?
It was wonderful. Just the fact that we swept the event, it was wonderful sensation. I think a couple years ago, we barely had maybe one or two guys going under 50 point in the 100 fly, and now we're all able to go under 50 point, and I think the team is growing us in depth and everything.
And I've heard you rank very highly now in Mexico, and
yeah.
So are you thinking about qualifying for Olympics in a couple years?
Yeah, I want to keep swimming and do everything I can in order to accomplish that dream. I think that's my and every athlete's biggest dream, to qualify for the Olympic Games and represent their country.
And so that would mean that you could qualify starting, what, next year? How does it work in swimming in Mexico?
Well, they have a period of time where you have to hit
the time
standards. The qualification is pretty much just like the NCAA qualification. So I would have to wait for that period of time in order to hit those marks.
Well, Daniel, anything else you want to add before we let you go?
Just thank you for having me, and I'm glad I could.
You had a great meet.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, that's Daniel Torres. Okay, joining us now is Evandro Silva. Evandro was named the co-swimmer of the meet, and you had a number of good swims. Even in the races you didn't win, I think you broke the previous conference marks, but you went head-to-head with the other co-swimmer of the meet, Muhammad
Hussein,
from Maryland, Baltimore County. Just talk about the championship. What was it like, you know, for the team getting this, you know, conference title first year at Division I?
It was pretty special. The approach was different this year. We had in mind that we were building something special, and this D1 mindset was different. We had our coaches; they all came from D1 schools, Scott, Chris, and Anders. And I mean, they've been there. They felt it. They know what it takes to swim fast, and I think that helped a lot. But yeah, it was definitely very special to finish strong.
It's a long season, so are there any extra nerves heading into a conference meet where it's the big meet of the year and you're hoping you're peaking at just the right time? You put in tons of hours of training. Are there any extra nerves heading into you know your swims because you know this is the time where I need to swim my fastest?
I don't think so. I think we're ready. We're definitely ready. We knew it was going to be hard, and we knew that we had to do everything we could at that time. And then, I mean, during the season, we were looking for a gap, for an edge to improve, even if it's working out on Sunday mornings, and then, I don't know, eating health, sleeping, getting enough sleep, everything. So I think we knew we were ready and confident, and I think that made us more confident than ever.
Now, you've swam a lot of different events for us in the past. This meet, you swam mostly the freestyle events. But what's your favorite? I guess, what's your favorite event if you could pick just one?
Wow. I'd say 2 AM. But not at this meet. I think I liked the 200 free better.
Well, you crushed the 200 free.
Yeah, I wasn't. I wasn't expecting that, but I think the 2 AM was crucial, and that made me swim. I mean, getting second for me is just, I don't know, I get really, really, I don't know. I think second is the first loser, and I got second last year in Nationals, and my best race in the 2 AM, and this year too, but that was crucial for my meet, and I think that helped me a lot.
They kind of set up every other race for you.
Yeah, that helped me a lot.
I've asked the other guys, what was it like when you saw that the score was tied with just a couple events left? Were you guys nervous at all, or were you feeling confident because you knew the 200 fly was a strong event for the team and that the relay would do well?
I think we didn't get nervous. I think we were ready. We were ready to go, and we knew we had more points to come in the two fly. We had the freshmen's, and we definitely knew that we could win at that point. But it was I wouldn't say we got nervous. I would say that made us go even faster.
What are your plans for swimming in the future? You gonna try to go on from here?
I'm still working my way to the top. I mean, it's tough from now on. It's real. We gotta plan everything, and it's gonna be hard. But I think swimming is part of my life. I don't know. Swimming is everything to me right now. I don't know.
The Olympics are going to be in your home country.
Yeah, that's very special. That's very cool. But I mean, I don't know what's gonna happen from now on. I hope I can still improve my times. I don't know.
Well, anything you want else you want to talk about before we let you go with Andrew?
I'm just thankful for Coach Davis, the opportunity that he gave me 2 years ago, all the coaches, Scott, Chris, Anders.
They talked about you a lot before you even arrived on campus. So I think you've lived up to the billing, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was a dream for me. The first time that I got here in 2010, I wanted to swim in a D1 school, but I got here, and I think that's just God, I don't know. We turned into D1, and I think that's very special. And I think I'm just thankful for what God gave me and Coach gave me. I'm just thankful.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Evandro.
Thank you for having me.
And that's Evandro Silva. Okay, joining us now from the women's team, Callie Lentz. Callie, you were named the diver of the meet for the CCSA championships. You won the 1 meter And then in the 3 meter, you lost by 0.3 points. So first of all, congratulations for the win. How tough was it to lose by such a slim margin?
Well, thank you. And then I thought I won after my last dive, but I guess sometimes that happens, and next year I'm just going to have to be prepared to win both boards. But I'll give it to her. She did a good meet, and she hit every dive, and I had some mistakes here and there, but overall, it was
now
okay.
You set the school records in both events. You didn't get to dive as much this year at some of the meets where they didn't have diving. So was it tougher on you on the rest of the divers because you didn't have as many competitions this year?
No, I don't think so for me personally, because I've been diving for so long. I already know what I have to do to get where I have to be in a meet. So I was already knowing how I have to mentally prepare and physically prepare to get first and second at conference.
Now, you guys did a good job of scoring. Kim Foster, freshman, got third place in both events. Emily Haddix picked up an eighth place in another event. Just talk a little about the diving team. How were you guys able to do so well this year?
I think it's because since Kim came in, she had higher dives and harder dives than Alex and Emily had. And she was also a competitor against me, and I was kind of worried about her. But I think overall this year we've actually encouraged each other to get better than the previous years. So I think overall next year we'll even be better because we get one more diver that's a guy, and he's pretty good.
That's good. Now, last year you were a D2 national champion. I never got to ask you, but tell us just a little bit about that experience for you. What was it like, you know, becoming a national champion?
It was awesome. It was probably one of the biggest highlights of my diving career for the past 13 years. It's probably because of my coach, Tommy Law. He is one of the greatest coaches I've had over the couple teams I've been to. And without him, I don't think I could have gotten there.
Take us through, like, your mental approach as you're going into a dive. What's kind of the thought process for those of us who all I can really do is cannonball? So,
well, you have to be able to control your heart rate so you can control your hurdle and your dive so you don't fly off the board. And before my dive, I mentally prepare in my head and picture what I'm going to do right before I do it, and then I just go up there and let my body take over and not worry about the dive, and it turns out to be good.
So what got you started in diving?
There was a neighborhood pool at my neighborhood with a diving board, and some random lady that I don't remember her name, but she was like, you should join diving. And at the age of 8, I joined diving.
Was there did you ever have any obstacles in certain dives or anything that took you a while to get through, but then you were finally able to, pull off the dive and feel confident with it?
Yeah, it was probably my gainer and back 2.5s. And my old coach from San Antonio, he was very supportive. And then I transferred, and then Tommy actually got me through that wall. And now it's probably one of my best dives.
Would you say diving is more physical or is it more mental?
It's probably more mental than physical, because if you can't get it through your head that you can do it, then you won't do it. So
for any aspiring divers out there, what would be the what would you tell them are the first things they need to work on?
They need to just work on their mental aspect towards diving and know that they always can do it and anything can happen.
Now you have one more year here. What's the goals for next year for you personally?
Next year, I want to win both boards at conference, so I'm not going to let that happen again. But I'm going to start doing weights more and dive more and get higher DD dives, and then hopefully getting first on both boards at conference.
Is there a certain like point total you have in your head that you'd like to get to?
Actually, I reached that point total with Tommy. He told me to break 300, and I did that in the finals.
312, right?
Yes. But maybe next year I'll try to bump it up to like 315.
So. That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, so hopefully it works.
All right, that's Callie Lentz. Anything else you want to add before we let you go, Callie?
I'm just thankful to be here because my coach and my teammates and my family support me through all of it. And without them, I wouldn't be able to do any of this. So.
All right, well, congratulations and good luck in the future.
Thank you.
Okay, joining us now is head coach Phil Davis. Phil, you guys got it. You won the championship. I know going in, we talked, I think, last week, and you thought you had a good chance, but you would never know until people started swimming. Maryland Baltimore County really put up a good fight, but you guys were able to pull it off in the end. What's the feeling like for you as a coach just to see the team, you know, peak at the right time?
You know, it's very satisfying, very proud, very happy. You know, it's, I think in today's world, you know, it's really, kids can give up very easily nowadays. You know, they bomb the first test and they're ready to drop the class. This goes wrong. We got divorces happening within the first 2 or 3 years of marriage. I mean, all these things, people just kind of, you know, take their ball and go home a lot now. And so as hard as we work and as demanding as we are as a staff and as a school and with our academic requirements that we hold a very high standard here with our swim team and all of athletics here. And with all that, for them to go there and to see it pay off is just, you know, I mean, it's a huge responsibility for us to get it right. Because if we don't, we might affect these kids for the next 30 years of their life on what they've been taught about working hard. And so it's very important for me to see that happen and pay off, and it really did. And my biggest, you know, concern going in for our men, despite, in my opinion, winning a close meet, completely dominated the meet and were without a doubt by far the best team there. You know,
we won 11 events.
That's right. And to win that many events and to, you know, take it safe on all of our relays to score them. I mean, you know, the 800 free relay, UMBC, they've got a heck of a team, and I'm not taking anything away from them. I thought they swam very well. They put the challenge to us, and I made it clear to our team that they would make it close. But, you know, they had a very huge advantage in the diving. You know, we had one diver who made it in the top six on both boards, and then they had five that scored, and it was and to put it in perspective, you know, there were only 11 divers.
Yeah.
So five of the six were UMBC guys.
They're getting a lot of points.
Yeah, you know, very good. And they have, you know, their top two guys are very good. And then it starts to fall off. But I told our guys, like, this is going to come down to the last race. And in fact, it pretty much did. And with that being said, I'm happy for the way that they – I don't know if they really believe me until the first couple of days. And they're like, you know what, Davis is right. And then Friday we just had a phenomenal night. And Saturday they never panicked, they never worried. UMBC put the stress on, and we just took it and moved forward. And I tell our guys all the time, it's not the weight of the load that kills you, it's how you carry it. And we had 18 guys carrying it.
We were texting back and forth each night, and on Friday night you were very excited with the team taking the lead at that point,
right?
Because you told me you thought you guys would probably be behind after Friday,
right?
How much confidence did that give you heading into the final day?
I wouldn't say we relaxed, or as a staff, but I definitely slept better Friday night than I did the rest of the nights, because I knew that you know, barring us having a meltdown, that we were set up, as I always do. I set up the last day to be our strongest day, and I knew that we would definitely. I was counting all of their swims out of their 16 scoring swimmers, and the diving event was over on Friday, so no diving to help out on Saturday. And I looked at their events and I realized where they would be and where they couldn't be and where they would most likely be, and I realized that if we took care of business and swam within ourselves, that then we would be in the driver's seat. It would be our meet to lose, and that's exactly the way it played out. So it's, as a coach, you know, it don't always go the way you plan. So to see it come through like that, it was this wasn't just like we went to the meet and we put our guys where we wanted
right.
I spent a lot of long nights looking
like
at every
Daniel,
single
Daniel
place.
Torres hadn't really swam the
100
butterfly
fly
events this year, and then
did
a good job.
There were a lot of tough decisions. I mean, Daniel Torres could have also won the 200 IM, but we didn't put him in it, because we knew that we would need him to double in the 100 fly and the 100 back the next day. And that's a tough double, but I've never asked him to do it before. Also, Alex Brower, you know, who we've really shifted gears into the sprint events.
He
He did okay.
He did well. He won the 53 the first day. And then the second day, he really, his event that he swam for the first 3 years for us is the 400 IM. And since we moved away from training there, we still thought we might put him in that event. Instead, we felt confident that Connor Hennessy could make top eight, which he did. We felt confident that our seniors, you know, with Aaron Norton, Robbie Morris would get in and score, and they did. And we felt very confident that our freshman, David Moore, you know, freshman of the year, would definitely handle that. So we felt good there. The 100 fly was not something we would put him in. The two free seemed a little bit like a stretch, and so it came down to the 100 backstroke for him. And he had a big tonsil win and a best time. And it was, there was a whole lot of studying that went into what gives us the best chance to score as many points as possible.
I was thinking about that because, you know, track is similar in one respect that you have a lot of different athletes in different events. But you guys also have to take into account you have 16 scoring positions, so there's a lot more scoring spots that you, those consolation points add up.
Absolutely.
You know, so do you have a spreadsheet that you use, or how do you keep it all, I guess, in your head, what you want them to do?
Shane, I'm kind of a beautiful mind, you know? I mean, to be... no, in all honesty, and this is not healthy, but I am consumed by our team, you know, emotionally, physically, mentally, everything. And it never goes off. There's never an off day. There's never a time to stop. There is no summer break. There's no Christmas break. I mean, it's constantly all the time thinking about how do we reach our genetic potential and how do we take this team to the place they can be. And you know, the biggest support I have right now is I have three guys that we're blessed to have to help coach, and we've got a great diving coach. So I can really allow what a lot of people associate coaching with is being practice. I can really take the weight off of me and have them run the workouts that we talk about and the program that we've designed and let them do it because, to be honest, they're a little younger and a little more fresh, and their workouts, which are accomplishing the same thing mine would be, they're just a little more exciting for the kids. And so that's taken a big toll off me to be able to try to stretch our very, very, very tiny budget as far as we can and to plan how we're going to swim this, who we're going to swim, and how do we build this team up. Like everything, there's a reason behind all of it. You know, the teams we do swim, the road meets we do go on in the fall. Like everything, it's preparation for this past weekend. And it worked. So it's very rewarding.
First conference title for at the Division I level for any Incarnate Word program. And, that's awesome. Something that we'll always remember, I think.
Forever first, man. Yeah, no, that's... God has blessed me. I don't even know how to explain it. I have, way better than I deserve to be. And these kids... they've just, for some whatever reason, Incarnate Word's been a beacon of light for a lot of people, leading them right here, and we've gotten these kids to come. Sometimes I have no idea why they wanted to come swim for me or at this program or with these coaches or with this school or in this town. It's just, it all comes together by, to me it's obvious there's a higher power involved in it. And, you know, if you need something done the first time at UIW, just ask the swim program. We'll get it done, you know. Whether it be an individual champions or you know, top five finishes or GPA or whatever you need, let me know. You know, and I'm really proud of that. And we don't back down from anything or anyone or any program or any team. And I put our kids up against anybody. And you know, we're a sport that's going to be easier for the transition into Division I. I mean, we've. In my opinion, and what I've sold as a D2 program is we are a D1 program. We just get to compete in D2. And I was, you know, for a lot of ways correct on that because that's what we've done. The transition has really not been a transition. It's just business as usual. And our expectations are always going to be high. And, you know, this whole athletic department is going to get there. It's just going to take them, you know, I'm a single coach. You know, a lot of our coaches are married with children and have, you know, established lives, and it's a lot easier for me to stay up here all day, or all day on a Saturday and Sunday. And it doesn't mean that I'm out working them. I just don't have the responsibilities a lot of our other coaches do. And so the limitations that we all have, I don't know if that's a God thing or what, you know, but I've been blessed with good health, and the situation allows me to put more hours in without getting kicked out of the house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, I think we've run out of time.
Yeah.
But congratulations once again. It was a great season for the team. You guys still have one more meet. Hopefully we can get some more good times there. And we'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks, buddy.